Welcome to the Beargrass Christian Church podcast. My name is Dee Decker, and I'm the Director of Communications here at Beargrass. This week, we continue our Eyes to See series with a sermon from Dr. Bond titled Eyes to See Temptation from Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Here now is Dr. Lee Bond.
Good morning. Glad you are here. Now, that passage is on page 785 in the Black Pew Bibles near you. I always encourage you to keep the text near so you can make sure I'm not making this stuff up. And if you don't have access to one of the Pew Bibles, pull it up on your phone, whatever. But I encourage you to keep an eye on the text this morning. And hopefully you and I will both gain some new insights. We are in the midst of the season of Epiphany. And our theme, as you can tell from the screen, is Eyes to See. And the stories that are often associated with the season of Epiphany are the visit of the three wise guys to see the infant Jesus. They were able to see him in a new and different way. It's also important to remember they were outsiders who were there and present. So we get this information early that this gift from God is for everybody. The other story that's associated with the season is the baptism of Jesus. At that time, as you remember, as he came up out of the water, there was this heavenly confirmation of his identity. And so we're exploring those kinds of ideas, seeing things in a new way. As in a general way, an epiphany is what? It's kind of a new insight, a new revelation. Sometimes we call them aha moments when things kind of click for us. We get it. We see it. We understand it. It all comes into focus. In the church, we describe them more in spiritual terms, perhaps as God moments. Times when we catch a glimpse of the glory and greatness of God. We talk about God nudges from time to time, that spirit that maybe, you know, encourages us to go where we didn't want to go. But certainly when we follow, we see remarkable things happen. I think epiphanies are also times when we get a clear sense of God's call for our lives and our service. The Eyes to See series will really be a part of a year-long emphasis. When we hear the number 2020, what comes to mind? Vision, right? So we're exploring those kinds of themes related to vision. And this year, 2020, will be the last time we ever get a chance to do this, right? This is the only year we're going to get 2020. So it would be an oversight not to embrace this thematically. And so we will. As the year unfolds, we'll move from this theme to the lens of Lent, to resurrection recognition, Pentecost perspectives, and visions of Advent. And so there you have the whole year before you. And I hope to see you around the table often this year. And I hope and pray that we see God and ways to serve God more clearly in 2020. Our topic for today is one of your favorites, I'm sure, temptation. Is there anyone here to whom this subject does not apply? Raise your hand, please. If it doesn't apply, you're excused. We're dealing with this stuff all the time. As Daniel mentioned before the anthem, it's so much a part of our everyday existence, part of the routine. The headlines are full of all this kind of stuff. I mean, big examples lately. Apparently, there's a baseball team in Texas, the Astros, who yielded to the temptation to kind of steal signs during the season here with special cameras. And what did they get? Slap on the wrist, what, $5 million fine, no big deal for a professional team. Speaking of slaps on the wrist, did you see what the Pope did recently? Yielded to the temptation to whack somebody's hand for holding on too long when he was greeting, you know, a line of people. I got a kick out of that one. But he did at least apologize after that was over. But all of us, right? All of us are dealing with this stuff every day. Maybe we can identify with the immortal words of Mae West, who said that whenever she had to pick between two evils, she would choose the one she had not tried. All right? Amen? And I don't know what you think about this story from Matthew 4, but it's powerful, and I've heard it a lot. I've heard it for a long time, and it still works on me. You know, it's still working on me. It's working on me from last night's sermon when I delivered it to Saturday night to right now. I'm still wrestling with these issues. The story begins with these words: Jesus was led up by what? The Spirit. This is a Spirit-directed exercise into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You know, it'd be interesting to hold this story next to the Lord's Prayer, right? What do we pray? Lead us not into temptation. What does the Spirit do to Jesus? Leads him to temptation. It's an interesting thing to think about. So we get the impression that this was necessary. This was a Spirit-driven experience for Jesus if he were to be able to fulfill God's purposes for his life. You know, after his baptism, he doesn't go out and party. That would be tempting. He goes straight into the wilderness to struggle with the temptations or variations of temptations he would face during his ministry. I think for us, as we hear the story again, can we learn from these temptations and the way he responded? We have a tendency, I think, to hear temptation as a negative word, as Daniel mentioned, but you know, positive things can come from our struggles. Could it be that in an effort to control our human passions, our human drives, that we can actually take steps forward? We can fall forward and live with integrity and character. Can temptation be an essential part of our spiritual development and maturity? A story comes from the Desert Fathers about a man named John, Abbot John. He prayed to God to be free from all passion. Anybody offer that prayer? Free me, O God, from all passion. His prayer was granted. And so he went to one of the elders and he said to the elder, "You see before you a man who is completely free and at rest with no temptations at all." He expected some praise and a pat on the back, and the elder said, "I'm sorry, I want you to go back to God and ask that God stir up some struggle within you, for your soul will be matured only in battles." He was disappointed, but he did, and the struggles returned, and he did not pray that the struggles be taken away. He began to pray, "God, give me the strength to turn to you to get through this." As we think about Jesus's fight in the wilderness, let's try to identify the nature of the temptations with which he dealt. He's tempted to turn stones into bread. Folks who visit the place where all of this happened say that there are small stones in that area that look like little loaves of bread. And after fasting for 40 days and being famished, you know, most of us, if we had to do that, would be hallucinating by that time. So we can see, you know, how that would all work there. But he doesn't do it. He responds by saying, "One doesn't live by bread alone, but by what? Every word from the mouth of God." So maybe he's saying that there's more to life than just a full stomach. Now, can we identify with this temptation? Most of us are not hungry. Some of us fast from time to time, but I doubt many of us have gone 40 days, right? That's a long time. But we do know about hungers, right? We know about other hungers in our lives. We know about the temptation to always want a little bit more. You know, ads and commercials bombard us from every direction and every device and TV that we have, just promising, trying to seduce us, promising happiness. It's just around the corner. It's just around the corner. If you'll buy this, if you'll get that, if you can get a little more stuff, a little more wealth, some of the more, the finer things of life. The trouble is that for many of us, the desire to have more is no longer a temptation because it's become a way of life, right? The bar was here and we set it up here, and that's the new norm for what we should have. You know, think about smartphones, right? How many of you have a smartphone? I mean, 20 years ago, how many of you had a smartphone? But now it's standard equipment for daily living, right? My wife said, I cannot live without a smartphone. You're going to get me a new Apple. And no, but we keep raising the bar on what the new norm is. And if we're not careful, we drown in this sea of self-indulgence and put aside the demands and calling of stewardship and the needs of others. And so Jesus' reaction is to put complete trust in God, and you know, our real human hungers are satisfied by the living bread of God. He's also tempted to abuse God's power. Jesus is given this great offer. Hey, throw yourself off the temple. God's angels will lift you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. But he resists this offer of angelic bungee jumping. Right? I mean, sounds like a lot of fun. And again, he quotes scripture, don't put God to the test. He knows that's not the way to build people's faith. After a while, folks would get tired of that trick. They'd want something more daring, more dangerous, more exciting. And surely he could gain an instant following, but he resists again. Sometimes going after the sensational, the brightest, the fastest, the biggest, the strongest is not all that it's cracked up to be. One of our members shares this story from a friend who is an avid eagle watcher. His friend often goes to remote places in the country to observe the great birds and their activity and behavior. And one trip, he witnessed a strange incident. He had his binoculars focused on a very large eagle he had nicknamed Boss. He was the biggest bird in the valley. And Boss was doing lazy rolls, gliding on the wind, and suddenly, bam, his eyes caught something, and he just descended straight down, captured his prey with those strong talons, and lifted a creature from the earth and began to fly off. And it, man watched, and the bird began to fly erratically and then suddenly veered and ran right into the side of a cliff. And the man was puzzled. He rushed over to where the bird had fallen. When he found the bird, everything began to make sense. Boss's big prize was a badger. I don't know if you've become friends with any badgers, but they don't make friends easily. They are some of the meanest, most ferocious of all of God's critters. Now, Boss got the badger, but the badger got him. And as that bird was in flight, that badger just gnawed right through into the stomach of that eagle, and that big prize was his undoing. That can happen to us as well. We may get tempted to be risky, go for the big prize. We may get it. We may land it. We may find it. But it may also get us. Third temptation is, it's a tricky one. Jesus is also tempted to compromise. Basically, he's handed the whole world on a silver platter, right? You know, Jesus, just take a shortcut. Avoid the pain. Take it easy. Avoid the cross. You know, take the whole world. You don't have to suffer and die for it. It's just compromise a little bit. You know, just sell out. Just a little bit here. You just worship something else. There's another way. And this particular temptation has really caught my attention again. I think, gosh, you know what? What a powerful temptation. But again, he refuses to compromise. He says, gosh, no, I can't go that way. It's worship God only. And we might think to ourselves as we read this story, well, sure, what else is the Son of God going to say at this time? You know, we automatically think he's hardwired to come up with the right responses, and he's robotically programmed to have to do these things. No, he was struggling as we struggle. And I wonder, you know, I don't think there's any way we can know the intensity of the battles that he faced with these temptations. You know, his disciples were not with him in the wilderness, right? I mean, these stories were written down later. And there were no smartphones to take, you know, temptation selfies. Jesus, was not getting covered by CNN or Fox News. There were no film opportunities or interviews. Jesus must have poured out his very heart and soul to his friends at a later time. And as I thought about this, these are the confessions of Jesus. He confessed to his friends. He shared with his friends the struggles with which he dealt. For you, what would they be? If you had to share your deepest, darkest confessions with someone, what would be on your list? But again, Jesus says no to all that. He says, no, this is a time to lean into God more fully. This is a time when I can rise, when I can get above all. An author's perspective echoes and reinforces this message. He says, temptation is a gift. I hadn't thought about it that way, but maybe that makes sense. Temptation's a gift, a compassionate gift, an opportunity to learn without getting into negative situations. Temptation can be like a magnet. It brings negative things to the surface and allows us to deal with it. Temptation's an invitation to really be honest with ourselves and think about what's going on in our heart and our head. Temptation's kind of a dress rehearsal to allow us to see, all right, if I choose this, what will happen down the road? We can visualize potential outcomes and circumstances, and then we can make choices and decisions that are spiritually informed. And some of that preparation involves dealing with some tough questions. Will this make me more loving? Will this benefit those around me? Will this make me more whole? Will this be in line with what I understand about God's purposes, plans for my life and the lives of those around me? I think when we challenge those temptations, we empower ourselves because we are not alone. We have God with us in those times. Doesn't mean we'll get it right all the time, right? How many of you messed up and gotten on the right road and then messed up? Say, yeah, we all get. some people I think avoid church because of a distorted message. And the false message is this: join us and we can get you a set of beliefs and or practices that will ensure that your struggles will be over forever. Life will never hurt you. The rug will never come out. The bottom never falls. And you will never again experience the pain of failure, uncertainty, lostness, or temptation. If we are dealing with temptations, we are in good company because I think the message people really want to hear is not that their struggles will magically disappear with the right formula or if they have enough faith. They seek a faith that provides a context in which their struggles become meaningful, first of all, and then hopeful. This can be seen in the life stories of so many biblical heroes who messed up but turned their lives around. These people moved not from failure to success, but from failure to faithfulness, which requires the ongoing possibility of failure. But again, there's that cycle of God calling us back and getting us set on the right path. As you know, temptation is as old as the Garden of Eden and as current as what is happening on Capitol Hill. And so we pray. We pray for ourselves that we stay together, that we continue to love in the midst of challenging times. We pray for our elected leaders, certainly, to have integrity and to make choices that are in our country's best interests. Individuals, as you know, can be tempted, but also organizations can be tempted, and churches can be tempted, and communities can be tempted, and political parties can be tempted, and countries can be tempted. On this Martin Luther King weekend, we recall some of his powerful words. He stood in a long and ongoing line of prophets and preachers who down through the years have reminded us to stay on track. But he once said, the ultimate measure of people is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in times of of challenge and controversy. He said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And so, friends, in our times of temptation, let us have the eyes to see the power and the presence of God.
We would love to see you round the table at one of our weekend worship services. Our Saturday service is casual and meets in the chapel at 5:30 p.m. The Beargrass Praise Team leads us in worship during our Sunday 9 a.m. contemporary service. And at our 11 a.m. traditional service, the Beargrass Choir sings. All of our services include communion that is open to everyone. For more information on all of the activities happening at Beargrass, visit our website at www.beargrass.org. Also, be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time, peace.